going to be a bit like a Sunday school lesson, which is really great for me. But first of all, before we start, I wanted to think about the songs. And this is God, actually, because Mike had no idea about this. But the song that we sung, we are gathering together unto him. The reason for today's prayer and share came from when Beverly and I went to the CAT gathering. And we were at the gathering, we actually met together and we were talking about lament to hope. And we gathered together unto him. And we wrote and we lamented and we prayed together, not only for each other, but also for our nation and our communities. So it is extremely providence that we sung that song. And I've never heard that song before. So it's really, you know, isn't it wonderful how the Spirit of the Lord is in everything? So we're going to start. I'm going to put up the slides. We're going to be talking about lament, and it's something that we don't normally talk about in the church, but I think it's going to be, thank you, this, right, okay, but it's a really good thing to do, and we're going to learn about it today. So in 1939, at the start of World War II, the Ministry of Information designed a poster that is as popular as now as it was then. It was very basic, red, and it was white. And there was a picture of the crown on top, and underneath were five simple words. Does anybody know what those words were? Keep calm and carry on. The poster and its slogan carried a timeless and possibly, there are more possibly now, important more now than it was then. It was a catchy slogan, and it was a national call to press on despite the impending threat of war on our country, but it also epitomizes British stoicism and having a stiff upper lip. We are encouraged to press on, soldier through adversity, and not let our emotions interfere. Now, don't get me wrong, perseverance and resilience are essential qualities. But if this feels like it's the only acceptable way to feel and respond to difficulties, then what do we do in times of anguish? How do we respond when our hearts are hurting? How do we act in times of pain and when we have feelings of injustice? What if there is a different way to respond when our hearts are aching? Today, we're going to explore God's way, which is to lament. Lament is unfamiliar to many today, but it is important to respond to the pains and injustice that we're experiencing in life. It's the heartfelt and passionate crying of a hurting soul. Lament can be unfamiliar in the church. It's not uncommon to sing praise and thanksgiving services in the church and on the church bulletin. In fact, today we have sung praises of worship. But when was the last time you saw on the notice sheet sorrow and grief? If you look in the Bible, you see that people allowed themselves to be moved. Jesus wept, and the psalmist cried out, and the prophets lamented. One of those prophets was Jeremiah. And interesting enough, the children this term have been learning all about Jeremiah. And where we've been in our Bible readings at home, we've just gone through the whole of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in fact known as the weeping prophet. He was the prophet who spent most of his life calling on God's people, the nation of Israel, to repent and to live their life that they were called to live. That was a life in relationship with God. But they didn't listen. And eventually they were captured by the Babylonians, and Jeremiah saw his people, with their freedom taken away, living outside of a relationship of God. And it broke his heart. And he was moved to write the whole book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. And that's how he, what he saw, and it was exactly how he felt. So in Lamentations 2:11, it said, "My eyes fell from weeping. I'm in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because of my people are destroyed." Jeremiah didn't bottle up his feelings or maintain that stiff upper lip that we've talked about at the situation around him. Instead, he cried out to God. Lament isn't complicated. Lamenting is simply putting words to how we are feeling, to state the circumstances around us and honestly bring our pain before God. It's not about being sorry for ourselves. It's constructive. There are many things that move us, many things about feelings of despair and things that cause our hearts to ache. This can be war, bereavement, disaster, injustice. They're all examples of that. This year, we're experiencing the highest rates of inflation for decades, and things are getting more and more difficult for those living in poverty, with the Food Foundation reporting 7 million adults missing meals in April 2022 due to the rising costs. And the energy cap rise means that fuel bills are becoming unaffordable for many. According to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, at the end of 2021, 3.8 million people on the lowest incomes had fallen behind in paying the bills. Right now, across the UK, and right here in Greenwich, there are people living in the middle of very real poverty. Neighbours with empty cupboards, empty fridges and empty stomachs. A father is unable to heat his cold, damp home, and a mother for whom the basic sanitary products are out of reach. And in fact, actually, one of the ladies I was speaking to at the food bank, she asked for sanitary products and we had tampons. And that was all we had. And she'd never known how to use them. So I had to sit with her and explain, and we showed a video. But this is real. This is in Greenwich. This happened this week. It's difficult to hear these things and see these statistics. It's even more difficult to know that these numbers are made up of lives and individuals that are in this borough and that are loved by God. This is a reason to lament. At CAP, we stand alongside the church to lament for those living in poverty and facing the worst ever cost of living crisis that they would know in their generation. In a little while, I'd like to invite you to join me to take time to lament and hold the pain of those in poverty before God. However, God's purpose of lament doesn't have to leave us in a place of darkness. We're talking about light. And the first candle in Advent is the light of hope. Because in the midst of lament, we find hope. Listen to Jeremiah's words in the midst of his lament, right in the heart of Lamentations in chapter 3, verses 19 to 23. He says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And how many times have we sung that in that hymn? "His compassions on you every morning. Great is my faithfulness, O Lord." In the middle of Jeremiah's lament for his country, he was confronted with the compassion, love, and hope of God. What a wonderful example of lament leading to hope, to a new song. At CAP, we have the privilege of partnering with local churches who meet with people in the middle of crisis living in poverty. And as we journey with these churches, we bring the hope of God. And when we journey with these people, we bring the hope of God to them. One of these people is Sid. And Sid has kindly shared his story and his journey of lament to hope. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play the video. And this is just a little short video about how Cap helped Sid. And he was in London. He was just down the road, actually in quite a wealthy borough, just like Greenwich. He's in Maidenhead. And it wasn't that dissimilar to where we are now. We're just going to play the video. That one.
I'm not a guy that frightens easily, but that, looking back on it, it is actually quite frightening that he got to that point.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, that's
you
it.
You must be Becky.
Yeah,
nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
So this is your house here, then?
This is Shacey, yes.
Can I take my shoes
off? Yes, no problem.
Right. Lovely to meet you. Can I do
your
tea?
My name's Sid. I'm 58 years old. In my younger life, I was well into sport, cricket, rugby, boxing. Used to get paid for playing cricket and rugby. Actually playing cricket with Ian Botham, Graham Hick, Tom Moody, virtually half the England side were at Worcester at that time. I seriously injured myself, which meant that my sporting career was not over, but it would never be professional as I wanted it to be. I was still able to play a bit of village cricket. I actually had an accident at work and something fell on my head. And they took me up and gave me an x-ray. And this lovely little chap came through and he said, oh, we found something that's not there, not supposed to be there. And I went, oh, you mean a brain? And he said, no, you've got a tumour. And I said, no, I'm indestructible, me, I don't get things like that. Can't happen to me. Brain tumour was operated on April 2015. Pretty much a year later, was diagnosed with Crohn's, which is a quite a nasty stomach disorder. Admitted to hospital, and just before I was admitted to hospital, my mother passed away, who I've been looking after for a few years, quite suddenly as well. It turned out I was suffering from a very severe depression because of what had been going on. And obviously during that time as well, I was getting into debt without actually knowing I was getting into debt. I was on some quite heavy-duty medication and it just spiralled. So pretty much everybody you could owe money to, I owed money to. The nurse came into the room and she said, can I get you anything? I said, no, just shut the door and let me die. I'd had enough. The will to fight it had just gone. So they looked after me in hospital and fixed the broken bits again and got me up and running. And when I came out, someone referred me or said to me, if you've got problems, give these people a ring, and gave me a card. And when I got home is when I made the phone call to Cap. I tried to collect everything that was relevant to what was going on, so letters and bills and all the correspondence. And everything was explained, which puts you so much at ease because you actually, for the first time, know what's going on. And then Andrew said to me, I'll give you some, it actually gave me a load of prepaid envelopes. If anything comes, send this off to Cap. If they ask for anything, send this off to Cap. Here's an envelope, you don't have to worry about a stamp or anything. And for the first time, I think, crikey, there's a way out of this, you know. it was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders. Brilliant. That's when Andrew dropped the bombshell. Did you fancy coming to church on Sunday, Sid? So I said, no, that'd be nice, come along. And I turned up knowing two people, Andrew and Chris. When I left, 20 plus people, see you next week, Sid, have a good week, see you next week. I'm going, crikey, it's a bit different, isn't it? They're all very nice. That was 4 years ago, but maybe a bit longer. And apart from the times when I've been in hospital, I've not missed a Sunday. I see things totally differently now. My whole attitude is different now. I wake up every day, and every day is now a lovely day.
And to watch the transformation, both physically and spiritually, to sort of lifting the real Sid back into life. It's almost like a resurrection type thing. From where he was, to, through the process, to where he is. Full of spirit, full of life.
He gets involved in all the meetings we do, our small groups, our worship meetings, as well as our regular Sunday meetings. And we believe God is good and God can do things. And Sid is a testimony to that. So it's been a real delight and a pleasure for us.
Without Cap, Gary, Andrew and Chris and the church, I actually would rather not think about where I would be now. It really has made that much of a difference to my life. And unfortunately, with the current financial climate, it's with real sadness that I think Cap are only going to get busier. So people need to know that there are people out there who care, firstly, and secondly, can actually help. It's that sense of belonging and the sense of friendship. To me, it is priceless.
Okay, so that was Sid's story, and it was a journey of lament to hope, a story which led to a new song. The journey he'd been on in many ways reflects our vision and why CAP exists. At CAP, we have a vision to see transformed lives, thriving churches, and an end to UK poverty. And interestingly enough, the food bank, the Trussell Trust, they also have a very similar vision to end UK poverty. Now, there is still a whole lot of work we need to do. And for the past 20 years, that number of UK poverty, that percentage has not changed. It's always been the same. But even so, we still carry on. And we continue to lament and bring hope. Sid's life is a transformed one from a place of hopelessness as he battled depression, physical illness and debt to a place of hope. He now has a new song to sing, a future that is hopeful, and he's passing that hope on to others. What an example of how God's changing lives and opening doors can help us to reach out and help others. Thriving churches. Sid was helped by a thriving church. His church partners with CAP to run a debt centre, which is helping loads of people being pulled under the rising tide of debt. and CAT provides a strong team of experts and accredited debt advisors who contact creditors and provide ongoing budget advice to our clients over the phone. All this happens while the church is in, where the church is based. The debt centre manager and the befriending team visit the clients in their home, usually at a moment of crisis. And we have seen that crisis here in Greenwich. Only this week we were with a client who had a pain in his knee. And he kept having this pain in his knee and he kept going to the doctor and the doctor said, don't worry about it, it's fine. And this was just before the pandemic. And then he had a heart attack, get rushed into hospital and they realised that the pain was a blood clot in the leg and the leg had died. So they had to amputate the leg, but the amputation went wrong. And then it got moved up here, then it got moved up here. And we went to see him in his home. He had multiple heart attacks, he had diabetes, and he had respiratory problems because of the complications of the surgery. And he was sitting and living in his bedroom upstairs. The whole house had been modified. He'd had special medication in a fridge. He had to have a ventilator to help him breathe, a special bed to help him move. He had one of the Stanner stair lifts, but a stronger one to go down the stairs so he could interact with the family. And he also had to have a special toilet fitted, electric toilet, to get him up and off of the toilet. He was in debt with the gas board and the electricity board, and they were going to cut him off. He couldn't afford to pay the bills. And we went in there and we had to actually have a discussion with the gas board to say, if you do this, this person will die. This is somebody living in our borough, not very far from where we're sitting now. And we went in there and we were able to advocate on his behalf because they were not listening to him. They were not listening to his wife. His wife had to give up work and has become a full-time carer. And they're now on universal credit and they can't work. But they can't also pay the bills on the money that they got coming in. And that's where we go in and give hope. The great thing about this man, even though he was broken and he was downcast, he was a professor of theology and had hope of Jesus in his life. So even though he was crying and he was downcast, when we prayed for him, he said, that's my hope, that Jesus is here. And thank God for people like you who come in. And that's what we do. That's what we do. We go in and we support people locally. And finally, we want to end UK poverty. Sid's story provides hope that the UK poverty can end, one life and one home at a time. But it also reminds us there is so much to be done. We are passionate about bringing about a place where destitution and poverty does not exist, a place where there are more people currently living in poverty that can find hope and that can find a new song. Our church is part of this. We don't talk about giving money to the debt centre because we do every month. We give to the debt centre in the same way as we give to the food bank. So we are a part of this. The work and the mission of this church is the part of what we do going out. So we are invested in the people. One of the great things that you can do today is invest your time in prayer, because I believe and I have seen that prayer changes lives. Yes, we're going out and we're doing the legwork. We're going out and we're helping people, we're advocating on their behalf. We're knocking at the council. They know me by name now, and I don't think they like me very much because I'm always complaining to them about things. But they're also really grateful because they're understaffed. They don't have social workers able to go out and see them. And we're doing that work. Jamie, who you've met from the food bank, says it like this. We have the social team and social carers, and they are the net, the safety net, that helps people. But people fall through that net because the net's got holes in it. and the church is the trampoline that catches them onto that net. And that trampoline bounces them back through, and we catch them back in that net, and we help signpost them to where they're going to be. So not only the work that we do, the work that the food bank do as well, and Rad will tell you as well, because he goes out every Monday down at Plumstead, and they're seeing so many people come through. In fact, we were there on Monday. It was so, so busy, wasn't it? It's getting more and more busy each week. 2 weeks ago down at Woolwich, within half an hour, we ran out of food. That was an entire van full of food. I mean, we haven't run out of food at the Jeppo, not yet, but within that session, which was 5 till 7 o'clock, within half an hour, by 5:30, there was no food left. And we had to turn people away and tell them to go to the next food bank. Luckily, we have a food bank 6 days a week in Greenwich. In Bexley, they just have one. So, how can we respond? It's not all doom and gloom. We're going to pray. Our first response is God invites is one of heart. To hurt and to cry out for those that are living and are living the reality of poverty in the UK. To be moved by the struggles and the pains that we see and that we experience. Not to let it get us down. Our response is simple but powerful. We want you to write a prayer of lament for the cost of living crisis and its impact on the most vulnerable. Whether this is for someone you know, or for your community at large, or even for yourself. We want you to lift your voices together with us. It doesn't need to be poetic, it just has to come from the heart. It doesn't need to be long, it can be a few simple words, and simply write it on the paper that we provided at the back. We can make this lament know that people are not alone. We come together with thousands of other Christians to write our prayers, and we're going to gather together later and we're going to say them out loud. All together, we're going to cry out to God together, because we believe that God hears the prayers of his people. We come to pray in the company of God, who sees and hears our cries. It's often in the middle of bringing our heartfelt cries to God that he reveals who he is and brings his hope, just as he did with Jeremiah and the others in the scripture, just like David. So when we bring our lamentations before God, we trust that he is bringing hope and transformation. So if you go to the back of the hall, we've got some tables. Bring your chairs up. There are some sheets on here to teach you how to write a lament. And this might be something that nobody's ever done before. And this lament can be not only for yourself. If you've got something that's really pressing you, we talk about forgiveness, we talk about repentance, but we don't talk about the real pain that we're going through. And it might be that actually it's not about somebody in the community. There might be real pain going on in your heart. If that's the case, write that out. This is a safe time for you now to pray and to really petition before God. The sorts of things we do in a prayer of lamentation is to address God, review God's faithfulness in the past, then we give the complaint, we confess our sins and claim for the innocent, and we request help. And then we ask what we want God to do, how we want God to respond. But we continue always at the end of it to praise God as a statement of trust. So this is a little sheet here to teach you how to do it. You're going to have a go at it. And on the tables, you'll see there are cards of hope. And this is what I give out to my clients. So in the midst of everything, I want you to take one of the cards, take it home, put it in your Bible. And it'll be a Bible verse and it'll be a positive affirmation. Not from the New Age, not from something that's about making yourself feel better. It's actually from the Bible. So take that home with you and keep that. Put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible. When you're having your quiet time with God, remember your prayer of lament, knowing that there's hope for a future of someone else. On the table there are books. The books are the story of Cap. If you would like to take one, you're more than welcome to take one. And it's the story of how John Kirkby set up Cap and how God spoke to him. There are also leaflets. If you know of anyone who's in debt, or if you're yourself in debt and you need our help, there's a free phone number there and you can call us. All right, so if you'd like to go to the back, we'll start writing our prayers. We'll give you about 10-15 minutes.